Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we heard in the news, and we're so excited and celebrating Pastor Saeed's release from the illegal containment as a prisoner in Iran for his faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to get to see just right now what it was like when his plane, thanks to Franklin Graham and Billy Graham Ministries, landed, and his parents got a chance to welcome and embrace their son, who they didn't know if they'd ever see him again. I want you to take a look. This is Pastor Saeed, his plane landing, and his parents seeing him for the first time. It's going to touch your heart. Thanks to Franklin Graham. Just melts your heart, doesn't it? It's just, we prayed, everybody crossed. I heard every, Jay Sekulow with ACLU, Jay said that probably every nation, every tongue was in prayer for Pastor Saeed's release and others that was there as well. And this is that reunion of mother. Can you imagine your son or your daughter being taken from you, not know if they're coming back, and how precious that was? Franklin Graham of Billy Graham Ministries is doing so many wonderful things. You know, for humanity, with Samaritan Purse and everything. But it's, I want you to see this. This is now Pastor Saeed breaking his silence over what took place while he was in the Iranian prison, talking with Greta on Fox. Let's take a look.
At least three Americans imprisoned in Iraq are now free and safe back in the United States. Christian Pastor Saeed Abedini, Marine Amir Hakmati, and reporter Jason Rezaian, all freed from the hell inside those Iranian prisons. It was a historic prisoner swap, but one American was seemingly left behind. Former FBI agent Bob Levinson is nowhere to be seen, and the fight to bring him home continues. But for three families, the fight is over, and that is great for them, and I'm very happy for them. And today, I traveled to North Carolina to meet with Christian Pastor Saeed Abedini, who's resting at the Billy Graham Training Center. Pastor Abedini explained the horrors he saw and endured behind bars, and one of Pastor Abedini's most distinct memories, the moment he set foot in front of an Iranian judge.
Just that you know why you are here. I said, yeah, I'm here because of my Christian faith and starting the house churches all over Iran. And he said, no, you are not here for this. You are here because you want to use Christianity to remove government. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I just came here to start an orphanage, loving people, and share the gospel with people, and just that. And he said, no, you guys are using Christianity to remove the government. That's the reason that you are here. And I said, no, I didn't do that. I pray for you, I love you, and I didn't come for that. And he started like yelling at me, very angry. And when my lawyer started talking, he didn't let him to talk. And so after 10 minutes, they said to the guards that you can take them back to prison. When they sent me to the other solitary, which Amir Hikmeti, the Marine, was over there, and they bound my eyes, they took me to his room, and I've been there, I think, for almost 60 days.
In the same room with Amir
Hikmeti? Yeah.
You guys talk about things? I mean, or communicate with each other? Or?
Yeah, first, when I removed my band, my eye band, and I saw her, I was like, got very heartbroken to see what they did to our Marine, you know. I saw his eyes was completely black, he got so thin, very weak, and I start crying, you know. It's like, that's a real war, that's a real fight, you know. So it was very hard to me. So I went there, we shake hands, we, you know, hug each other, we try to encourage each other. And the best moment that I have since I got arrested, and to see him alive. And so we have been there for 2 months together.
In the same room?
In the same room, yeah.
Anybody else in there?
Just sometimes they brought some other prisoners, stay with us, and then like after a week or 2 weeks, they just removed them again.
How did you pass time, you and Amir Hikmeti, for those 2 months?
That was the most hardest thing in prison, especially in the solitaries like that, because there is nothing to do. So I made a plan that I can talk to him, encourage him, and mostly I was praying, you know. The best thing that I could do over there was like praying each day, hours and hours, sometimes more than 20 hours. I just prayed and prayed. And it was wonderful time with the Lord. I enjoy it. But the other thing, they didn't give us book to read. They didn't give us our own clothes. They didn't give us, you know, nothing. It was just me and him in a room, nothing to do.
For 2 months?
For 2 months. Actually, he was over there for more than a year in the same room when I met him. And but after coming out from solitary and seeing one person that you can talk, it was like heaven, you know. So it was a good time.
Did they ever torture you besides, I mean, look, I think solitary confinement, of course, is torture. I think holding someone is torture in the manner for faith. Did they ever torture you physically?
Yes, you know, in interrogation, once they beat me very badly, because they want me to write something that they want, which I didn't do that. You know, they tried hardly to damage my reputation in Iran. So they asked me to write and sign the things that I didn't do that. And so actually it was in a courtroom that the judge closed the door and the interrogators start beating me, which in that time I got a stomach bleeding. And they asked me the things that criminal prisoners do. So when I deny it, they start beating me. And they asked me to sign it, to write it, and I denied. And then when they saw it doesn't work, they let me go.
And beat you with their fist?
Right.
Was there other torture going on in the prison that you knew about, other forms?
The other forms was when I was interrogated with my interrogator, he's told me that I'm going to do three things to you. First, I'm going to put you to with the Al-Qaeda prisoners, and they're going to beat you to death, which he did later. And I was beaten with them to death, kind of. God saved me over there. The second thing was, he said to me, I'm going to send you to Rajai Shah, which is the worse prison than Evin. And the third thing was the threat of death. And they said, when you finish your sentence and you go to U.S., we always follow you. And if you continue the thing that you did, we're going to kill you, as the other pastor happened to them. So they took me to Al-Qaeda's, with the Al-Qaeda prisoners. And we had a normal talk, and it was a very heavy iron chair over there. He grabbed it and hit it to my face, to my head. And so I got it. I got the chair when he hit my head and hit my legs. So the guards came, and They didn't let him to continue what he did.
Did you see other people get beaten and tortured?
A lot.
Like what? How? In what manner?
The worst thing that I saw was when they took some Sunnis for execution. It was in front of our eyes, and they took like tens of them to hang. You know, every Wednesday in Rajai Shahr, still they hang the people and they take them for execution. Most of them, they are Sunni, some of them political prisoners, and I can say most of them, they are there for their faith. And so when they want to take them, you know, they were scared. And so like the soldier, they take their hands, their feet, you know, grab them. And, you know, like when they take a lamb for slaughtering, so. And they were yelling, some of them they were crying, and some of them they wet themselves. So it was very, very graphic things, you know, when I saw when they took people for execution.
And there's much more from our conversation with Pastor Abedini, and you're going to hear much more of this chilling interview in the days and weeks ahead. You're also going to hear from his sister and Reverend Franklin Graham, who has been helping the Christian pastor's reentry to the United States.
I'm telling you, that just breaks your heart, doesn't it? This is what was going on when we were praying. He was going through all those that time of persecution. It reminds me of the words of Jesus. He said, you will be handed over to authorities, and they will persecute you, and they'll treat you basically as the Lord has been treated, as he was treated. And we're seeing that take place, but we're also seeing the Lord just stand in the gap for, you know, Pastor Saeed and that U.S. Marine that was serving us that ended up going through the whole situation with him that was in that room for a whole year before Saeed got there. It just breaks your heart. I wanted to be able to show this so we can see the reality of what took place, and that this is potentially for any Christian on the face of the earth who stands up and boldly for their witness for God. What was he doing? He was planning a network of churches that meet in houses. That's how powerful it is with church planting. How, if you want to get involved in something that's going to shake the devil's kingdom, it's like getting out there and just starting to begin to birth new churches and plan new churches and get rightly related apostolically. But it's a powerful thing. So much so that the government felt threatened when churches that meet in homes, they were threatened. They thought that my government's going to be removed. You know why they think that way? They think that way because Satan gets involved in the government setup in some particular nations, maybe all nations. I mean, this is what he told Jesus. He said, if you bow down and worship me, you see all these nations? He says, I'll give them to you if you worship me. They've been given to me, and I can give them to anybody I choose. Why is someone threatened when Jesus and his body shows up and his church shows up? Because authority shows up. Another kingdom shows up. We're not trying to take over the kingdoms of this world. The Lord's going to do that in his day. The kingdom of God is within us. But it reminds me of one more conversation so we can understand how these foreign governments, some of them, respond to the church. China feels the very same way. When I was talking to Yulong, and he lives in Hong Kong, he was explaining to me the reason why China feels so threatened by the church. They feel like that the church is going to take over the government. Well, the problem we have with that is the Catholic Church has their own country. They have a papacy. They have the Pope over their country. It's an entire country, just like America, just like Iran and Iraq. And so sometimes that paradigm gets messed up, but the church, We're not trying to find our home in this world. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. This is who we serve, our Lord. And this kind of persecution is happening all across the globe. We want to thank God for, you know, his release and his testimony. And he and his wife now are staying reportedly at Franklin Graham's ranch to be able to just help them transition back into society. Keep them in your prayers and just cover them. And bless them and stand with Franklin Graham, with Billy Graham Evangelistic Ministries, because this is what they do. That is all over the earth.
We talked about ACL, whatever it's ACLJ, Jay yes. Sekulow's
organization
and ministry, which we partner with and
yes.
excited about what they're
Thank
doing.
Thank you for Jay and Jordan and what they're
yeah.
doing.
And Jordan was the first one. His son yeah. was the first one that jumped on top of this.
Beautiful.
And the world jumped on top of it. Yeah. I mean, the world actually jumped on top of this thing.
This was a good moment for the church, yeah. really, to gather together and solidarity, praying right. together and believing for God to protect Saeed, because he was as we heard, going right. down, you know, being tortured.
Yes, and just a precious man. I mean, think about in heaven, what all of heaven is thinking about Saeed. Mm. I mean, and he would think about, people tell you, this is what you hear in America. If the church isn't like this, it's not significant. If it's not in some $1.2 million building, it's not significant.
Right.
Nobody's threatened by that. Or, you know, if it's not in a stucco building, or if it's not, you know, this many people or that many people. Let me tell you something. Wherever the church is, it's the most, that's the true church, it's the most powerful thing that's around. So much so, planning churches in houses in Iran caused the very government who is battling other governments in the world, Iran. I mean, they're shooting fake carriers, trying to threaten people. They're threatening Israel. You know, our government's cutting deals with them. And Saeed was the most threatening to them.
Yes.
He was planning churches. Planning churches. Do you know, reportedly, we had an earlier program on it, that more Christians are being birthed into the kingdom, I believe, in Iran than anywhere else. It's like over a million Christians in regards to the rate of entering into the kingdom of God. And it's like, he was just planting churches. Mm. What does that mean? If what you're doing is not shaking the nation that you're in, maybe we need to do what Pastor Saeed did. You know, I can't think of his name right now, but the fastest form of soul winning.
Peter Wagner.
He's an apostle. Peter Wagner, this institute that he runs.
Mm-hmm. Wagner Institute.
Yeah. Wagner what?
Wagner Institute.
Yeah, the Wagner Institute. Is that church planning is the fastest form of soul winning. Because what happens is when your church has been there for a little bit, it's like, okay, let's just do the Easter play.
Yeah.
You know, no more growth. We don't have any room for anybody anyway. Yeah. Let's just focus on the color of the carpet and how well the air conditioner is going. And then all of a sudden, everybody, the excitement of telling someone about the Lord. But that new church plant, you know, everybody's excited. They're winning people to the Lord. They're discipling them. And we need to stay consistently in that place.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing that we do at the VFN Dream Center. I mean, our focus is on what Pastor Saeed does, you know, and that's how effective it is. You want to know how effective it is? The government of Iran was fearful that what Saeed was doing, planting churches that were meeting in houses, was going to take over Iran.
Wow.
They're not threatened by the United Arab League around them, not Israel. I mean, it's amazing. That's how powerful you are as a believer when you start stepping out and obeying God. And the Lord's going to hold us accountable for doing or not doing. And it's like he set an example for all of us that that we can stand up. Even our very own nation begin to walk out the pattern now. And so that is very encouraging. That's why we wanted to be able to see that and celebrate his return.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.